You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning. It's me, Aaron Carrera. And indeed, you're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show on 1-2 Radio. It is Thursday, July 18th, 10 a.m. if you're listening live. And I'm coming at you from Los Angeles, California. So, first of all, this show is brought to you by me, Aaron, at 1-2listen.com. That's 1-2listen.com/Aaron, Aaron with an E. And if you'd like to come find me and work with me, come on over, 1-2listen.com/Aaron. You can call me, chat with me, order an email-based service, lots of fun things on offer. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today is we're going to be talking about, just opening up to my notes, confidence, and specifically confidence when it comes to taking risks in the direction of your dreams. I am able to give this talk today because, as many of you know, I had a novella come out July 2nd. And I have another novel, a full-length novel, coming out September 20th. So the novella that was published July 2nd, it's an easy, breezy, sexy beach read kind of novella, a little bit of a satire of Hollywood. And it's called Bad Sugar Baby. It's available on Amazon. It'll be coming out as an Audible audiobook next month. And then in September, I have a full-length women's fiction slash rom-com called Ghosting Shakespeare coming out September 20th. I'm also, as many of you know, in addition to being a psychic at 1-2listen, I, in general, am also a writer and performer. And it probably takes confidence for me to live this life. Trust me, I feel very vulnerable all the time. All the time. A lot. It's not so much that I have imposter syndrome, although I don't always know that what I'm doing is going to be well received. I'm always committed to doing my very best with everything I do. I'm committed to bringing my best, giving my best, doing my best, being of service. But, you know, you don't know how the public is going to take what you've done. You don't know how people in your life are going to take what you've done and what you have on offer. And I know a lot of people out there have dreams that they don't necessarily go for. A lot of times, a lot of my friends who are artist friends are very used to going for their artist dreams, but they maybe don't go for dreams regarding financial stability or buying a house or getting into a relationship. Whereas a lot of my friends who have more, shall we call them, normal jobs, I call y'all the normies, you maybe are very good with things like having a steady job or getting into a relationship, but you don't necessarily go for things like writing your book or releasing music or starting that side hustle or taking that spiritual pilgrimage trip, right? So I wanted to talk today about confidence and how to develop confidence in yourself and in your dreams, but in a way that isn't about external validation, right? Like that you're writing a book, you know why you're writing a book, and if you're writing a book for external validation, good luck to you. And it's not that you shouldn't write for your audience, of course. That's something you can determine. You know, like, we'll get into that. If you're doing things for an audience, yes, of course, consider the audience. But I imagine there's got to be a deeper reason why you want to create something or take a risk. And so we're going to get into how to use those deeper energies to support you in your dreams. Okay? Sound good? All right, everybody, let's take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in. I want you to think about some of the dreams you have in your heart, some of the things you want to create or manifest. For example, I have a new one-woman show that I'm working on. I'm developing a couple of different film and television projects with my husband. I've got some singing jobs coming up. I'm always over here at 1-2listen. And I've got a couple, as I said, I'm marketing the first book, Bad Sugar Baby. And then I've got a new book coming out in the fall. And all of that is a lot. Did your eyes just roll up in the back of your head? I've got it all sorted out in my syllabus. That's how I time manage myself. But I want you to think about not the eight things that I just mentioned, the eight things that you want to do, but just think about one to two or three, because I'm only working on three or four things at a time. I think. Right? But I want you to think about the things that you want to create. If you're like, yeah, I always wanted to be a life coach, but I don't know how to market it. So I think I should do a podcast, but it's never good enough, right? I know that's a big thing for people, right? Sometimes you have to be satisfied with being completed rather than good enough. But I will challenge you. I think it's actually, in this day and age, it is possible to learn how to create something of quality and release it. It's very accessible to us. It just takes that little bit of extra time and effort to make something that you think is really good, right? So when you're thinking about those things that you want to create, now set those aside for a minute. I want you to think about, what are your values? Now, these are things that we talk about a lot on this show. We talk about them every year at the end of the year so that we understand how we're shaping our new year and what we want to create in the new year. And I've recently re-examined my values, because my value, for years I thought my number one value was freedom and my number two value was creative expression. But in reality, my number one value in a way is love, and specifically my love relationship. And I know that I will often make decisions based more on my love relationship than necessarily on freedom. And that's all perfectly acceptable, right? So I've recently been re-examining what are my top values, and I've recently re-examined them to be, number one, my relationship with the divine, number two, my emotional health, number three, my creative projects and artistic expression, number four, my love relationship, number five, and creative art and artistic vision is like my work, right? That's my work in life. That includes One to Listen, One to Radio, my books. So number four is my love relationship. Number five is family, including friends, because if you become a friend, you become like family to me. I'm not able to make a distinction. And then I go into things like financial stability, freedom, travel and adventure, right? Another big value of mine is contentment and peace, but that's not one that I want it to be higher on the list than it actually is. But, you know, if I'm being honest, right, it's really kind of low on this list of values. But I want you to think, what are your values? Now, your values might be financial security, number two, my children, number three, my husband, number four, my physical health, number five, my home, number six, right? You see, you'll start to figure out what your values are by thinking about, where do you actually spend your time and focus? What are you actually thinking about all day, right? And are the values that you want in your life the values you're actually living? So that is probably a topic for an entire episode. But I want you to really think deeply about that. What are my values in life? And am I living in accordance with those values, or am I living kind of off kilter to those values? If I'm living off kilter to those values, do I really want my number one value to be whatever I think it should be? Because it's really important to know that if your number one value is financial security, your number two value is taking care of your children, your number three value is taking care of your marriage, your number four value is your physical health, your number five value is your home, and then number six would be that side hustle, starting your jewelry business. It's important for you to know that so that you build your life around creating something with reason, right? Knowing that your children will always be more important than your jewelry business, that your financial stability is very important. So you need to maybe consider how you're going to invest in your side hustle, in your jewelry business, in a way that makes you feel safe, so that you're saving money for marketing, or you're coming up with creative ways to market that don't take money out of your savings account, right? Because if financial security is more important than starting your side hustle, that could be a place where, if you are unconscious, you could get yourself hung up. So now I want you to consider those values, whatever your values might be. So for some people, number one value might be sex. Number two, excitement. Number three, adventure. Number four, partying, right? It doesn't matter. Everyone's values are going to be different. For some people, their number one value is going to be fame. Their number two value is going to be music. Their number three value is going to be audacity. Their number four value is going to be self-care, right? That person might be a rock star, right? I'm just saying, right? Like, everybody's going to have a different series of values. You need to determine what yours are and then go back and compare your list of values with your list of your desires, what you want to create, what you want to manifest. Where does your desire fit in with your values? And where do your values fit in with your desire? This is very important to know. Because, you know, the truth is, I said number one, divine, number two, emotional health, number three, my creative art and work, my creative work, my work in life. But in a way, I see my work in life as my way of channeling the divine and as my way of managing my emotional health. So in a way, number one, my creative work in life is my number one value because it is of service to the divine, because it is of service to my emotional health. And also, because I work with my husband, sometimes it is also of service to my love relationship. And because it is also how I make income, it is of service to my financial life. But that can get tricky, right? If you start spending money on advertising and you blow your savings, I'm speaking from experience with my album that came out 15 years ago, that might not be right. Now, I was not valuing money. I didn't really care back then. Now I'm trying to teach myself to care because I understand that as a middle-aged woman, as you get older, some things, you have less energy, and having a different relationship with money is just what I want, right? Again, it's a value. It's a value that's shifted for me. But I want you to consider, what is it that you want to create or experience or manifest in life? And now that you've determined where it fits in with your values, I want you to think about why you want that thing you want. So if you're trying to write a book, you want to make a short film, you want to become a TED Talk speaker, you want to start a side hustle, you want to begin painting, you want to get into a love relationship, you want to take a trip to a trip you've always wanted to take to Greece, you want to get pregnant. I want you to think about why you want that. Ask yourself why. Well, I want that trip to Greece because I've always been fascinated by Greek culture and I've always wanted to go there. Why? Keep asking yourself why. Ask yourself why 5 or 6 times until you get to a very deep personal reason why you want that. I want you to write that down. Okay? I want you to write that down because when the going gets hard, knowing your why for why you want something is going to help stabilize you. Knowing your values and how it fits in with your values is going to help keep you going when time gets hard. Knowing who you are and getting to know yourself and continuously journaling about, you know, why I want to get into a relationship. Why is it important to me? Why do I want to maintain my relationship? Why is that important to me? You know, what am I learning about myself as I engage in this process? All of this is so very important. Now, you might say, this sounds like a lot of work. I could be putting that work into the book. And it's true, you can spend a lot more time doing the spiritual work than actually creating the thing. And that is a danger. So at a certain point, you have to set aside all the journaling about why you want to write a book. And you have to start planning the book. And we'll get into that. Or you have to start planning your jewelry business. Or start planning how you're going to go about meeting somebody. Whatever it is that you want. You have to actually get to the point where you're going to take a risk. And I want you to think about I want you to start actually writing down some of the risks you could take in the direction of your dreams. So once you've known your values, now you know where it fits in, you know what your desires and you know your why. I want you to start taking risks. Yes, you write down 10 things that you could do. Okay, I'm going to brainstorm ideas for a book. Okay, I'm going to think about where I have expertise to give my TED Talk. Okay, I'm going to start putting myself out there again romantically, right? It's a risk. And I want you to think ahead because I'm going to offer you some suggestions on how to handle life when a risk you took didn't work out or didn't go well. Okay? Because that happens to me all the time. I take risks that don't work out all the time. I fail all the time because I take so many risks. I take risks all day long. Now, I'm not saying you should take risks all day long, and I'm not saying that they're all going to fail. I'm just saying that when you start living a life where you're trying to create more than what you already have, and I'm not talking about hating what you have. I'm talking about being grateful for what you have and being willing to lean into your dreams. It won't always go well. And that's okay. It's okay if things don't go well. You get to stay vulnerable, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. What happens when it doesn't go well? Well, the first thing is, if you can, just stay in the feelings. I know that's like, what? No, that's counterintuitive. I want to immediately rush to feeling better. I want to rush to being defensive or rush to why I was right or why they're wrong or why it should have gone better or blame someone else or blame myself or sit here and wonder, like, why did it go wrong? No. Just be with it. Just be with whatever it is for a moment and allow yourself the feeling of, you know, I endeavored on something. It didn't go the way I had hoped. And from this place, without being self-critical, but just being in these feelings, can I observe my feelings, observe my experience, and now begin to observe what I would like to learn from this experience, right? What can I learn? And the reason I say stay vulnerable, don't go to false positive, you can always say, you know, oh well, or so what, or pardon my language, fuck it, right? But you can also just say, well, I'm disappointed it didn't go well. I love myself. I'm proud I tried. Is there anything I can learn for the future, right? And that's really important. It's really important to learn, okay, I tried too much too fast, or I didn't give myself enough prep time, or I thought I was so much better naturally. Maybe I need a coach in this arena, or maybe I need to develop some new skills. It's all okay, you know? In fact, I think failing is really important because it teaches you a lot about what you need to do for what you really want in life. No matter what, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit, okay? Also, no matter what, do not compare yourself to other people. Instead, you want to just look at yourself objectively, be honest about your feelings and your hopes, see what you can learn for the future, and set yourself up for success better the next time, okay? So, also, I want you to challenge any unkind thoughts that might arise. In fact, challenge all thoughts, meaning, I'll never get this. I'll never do it. No, you don't know that. You're just feeling frustrated because it didn't go the way you wanted in the moment. You know, I want you to also challenge other people's thoughts. Not to their face, don't get defensive. But in my life, my whole life, I have been a professional musician since I was 17 years old. I have had people tell me all kinds of advice, warranted, unwarranted, asked for, unasked for. And I've had a lot of people give me very bad advice. I've had people tell me I'll never make it as a singer, as a writer, as a psychic, all kinds of things. And I think when you're listening to what other people have to say, especially, for example, if you're like, when I was putting a lot of music out and I would read people's comments, you know, I didn't let the trolls' comments really hurt me that much. At first it did, and then I learned to live with it. And then I learned just to look for where the gold was. You know, like my own little revenge was getting better and better. And you know what? Not everybody gets to be, you know, fully formed genius right out the gate. In fact, most people aren't. The Beatles played in a cover band together for years before they began recording their own first albums of their original songs. Their original songs were not that innovative compared to other music that was out at that time. And their manager bought their first however many records to put them on the map because nobody really wanted to sign them. So Brian Epstein got them signed to Apple, and then he bought their first however many albums. Mariah Carey's manager and former husband did the same thing, right? But that's the Beatles, probably the greatest, or one of the greatest, and certainly most innovative rock bands of all time. And that's Mariah Carey, one of the most amazing pop divas of all time. So it's like, you know, people don't always know. So I want you to consider feedback and consider when people say things, especially if they're saying mean things, consider the source and where it's coming from. And don't take it for real. You know, like, just do not. Years ago, I auditioned for a reality singing competition. And I went in, and this was when I was still very young and living in Minneapolis. And it was at the Mall of America. And I went there to do the audition. And in the room, the judges were like, you probably, this was so long ago, you may not even remember these judges. Tone Loke, you probably remember. Vitamin C, and I forget the third person. And I ran into another woman there who I knew, a girl. We were like 20, maybe 19. And she was a great singer. She did a lot of musical theater in town, and I knew her, and I knew she was a great singer. So we're all waiting, and she came out, and she said, they told me I was the worst singer they've ever heard. And I was shocked. And she was like, and I did a great job. This was not a hard audition. This wasn't a bad audition. I didn't do bad. She was like, it was weird. And I was like, that's strange. And it kind of set us all on edge. So then I went in, and I don't even remember what I sang. I think I sang like Pat Benatar. And they said, do you have anything else? It says here in your resume, you trained in opera. Can we hear that? I said, sure. So I sang the Habanera from Carmen, you know. You know that one. And they sat there and they looked at each other, and then Tone Loke said, well, that's quite an instrument you have. I said, thank you. And they said, okay, that's all we need. Goodbye. And I was like, it was weird. Like, they looked at each other, and it was just weird. So, and then I left, and I was like, that was weird. And I never got called back in. But one girl did get called back for finals, and that was the year that I moved to Los Angeles. So I moved to Los Angeles a few months later, and I read in the newspaper about this show as it was coming out, and it was a show that was like a joke show. It was like American Idol, but making fun of singers. So they took great singers and told the great singers they were terrible, and then they took what they were calling bad singers, and they told those bad singers they were amazing, and they encouraged them to sing even worse, and they were just making fun of all of them. And then the girl who won it, I believe, was from Minnesota originally, just like me, and she said, whatever, I decided I don't care, I'm going to try to use this to capitalize and create a career for myself. Now, I don't think anything ever happened for her. I'm not sure. I don't think so, though. But I am personally horrified by this. Oh, God. But if you remember from the year like 2003 until about 2012, do you remember how awful and mean everybody was? It was like the internet created an inner troll spirit in even normal people. I remember how mean magazines were to people like Angelina Jolie or Kate Bosworth. Like, people were so, so mean. So mean. And I tell this story because it's like, yes, of course, not everybody giving feedback is purposefully trying to throw you off to make fun of you for a reality series that's like punking you. And not everyone's trying to punk you. But remember that people have agendas, and they don't always recognize that their own agenda might be getting in the way of your personal dreams and your personal growth. Okay, so challenge unkind thoughts. And while I'm not saying to not take criticism, absolutely, I always listen to what people say and try to grow from it. Don't make it a death sentence for yourself. Don't make it true forever. And don't necessarily just accept everything. Okay? In fact, when you are manifesting and growing and taking risks, it makes you extra vulnerable. You know, it's like that wonderful speech by Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena. I'm going to look it up while we're talking. Because it's really important to remember that taking a risk is very vulnerable, right? So Teddy Roosevelt went, and he once gave this speech in Paris, April 23rd, 1910, and it would become one of the most widely quoted speeches of his entire career. And he was now the former president. So he left office in 1909. He spent a year hunting in Central Africa and touring Northern Africa and Europe, giving speeches in Cairo, Berlin, Napoli, my husband's hometown, Oxford. And in Paris, he went to the Sorbonne and gave an incredible speech. This is the speech. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Right? Those who know neither victory nor defeat. And so then a lot of people have heard, you know, Brené Brown paraphrase that phrase, daring greatly. You know, she talks a lot about vulnerability. Vulnerability is not knowing victory or defeat. It's understanding the necessity of both. It's engaging. It's being all in, right? All in. And I'm going to tell you, I feel like in this world, you know, in this world we're in today, a lot of people don't want to do something unless they're already good at it. Well, how is that possible? Everybody needs to learn to drive. Let me tell you, everybody needs to learn how to use the bathroom, right? Meaning, sure, everybody can pee in a diaper. Everybody can poop their diaper. But little kids need to learn how to use the potty, right? You learned how to do that. You didn't come out the gate knowing how to do that, right? Why do we think that's different with anything else? So I want, when you are really taking these risks and really growing yourself, to just stay in it. Stay in it. Stay in it. And talk to yourself positively, right? Don't lie to yourself, you know. Don't live in fantasy, but talk to yourself positively. Say positive things. I believe in myself. I know I can get there. I know I can achieve my dreams. I know I have goodness in me. I know I have greatness in me. Whatever your dream is to get into a relationship, I know I can get into a great relationship. And I'm willing to learn skills to do that. I'm willing to put it out there to do that. If you want to write a book, I know I can write a book. I know I can get good at writing a book, right? And then there come all of the other aspects that actually will help you have confidence with this stuff, right? Like having boundaries. Practice saying no. Pause when somebody asks you to do something. I want you to don't just say yes right away. Pause. Give yourself time to respond and then think about your values. Think about your desires. Think about why you're desiring the thing you want. And then ask yourself, is saying yes to this request going to help me with my desires? Now, sometimes it might, right? And sometimes we say yes for other reasons. Sometimes we say yes because we want to help. But I want you to have boundaries around how you're spending your energy. Are you spending your energy in a way that is in alignment with your boundaries and in alignment with what you want, right? And then I go back to, do not compare yourself to others, okay? Yes, you can take inspiration from people. I love writers and reading, and I always wanted to be, you know, Lucy Maud Montgomery. So I wrote a book about sugar babies, something she would never write about probably. Well, who knows if she had lived during this time. And maybe I will still write a great book about for girls. I mean, I love Anne of Green Gables. It was written before there was such a thing as young adult fiction. They just had fiction. But I love it partially because, for similar reasons that people love Little House on the Prairie, because the lives of girls also matter. Right? The lives of just regular, everyday people with big dreams and big hearts and big ideas matter. And so it's great to take inspiration, but don't compare yourself to other people. You can if you want. Like Lucy Maud Montgomery, I think she wasn't published until she was considered a spinster in that time, like in her 30s or early 40s, I think. I don't remember exactly. But I like to think about people who blossomed later in life and late bloomers. And because everybody in modern culture, because we make so much money off of ageism and selling youth and beauty to people, we often over-aggrandize young people. And it's awesome. When you meet a kid who's so talented, it's so cool. I love it. I love to meet really talented people of all ages. But also, it's good to be talented at whatever age you are. Estelle Getty, who was Sophia on The Golden Girls, got her first TV role at age 62. So don't worry about other people and what other people are doing. Okay, the next thing you need to do for your confidence is to celebrate your wins. Celebrate your wins. Did you finish a chapter of the book you're trying to write? Great. Did you go on 3 dates this week? Great. Celebrate that. You don't have to necessarily pop open a bottle of champagne for every single word you put down on paper or anything like that, but did you take a risk? Celebrate it. Did you go just a little bit beyond your comfort zone and try something new? Honor yourself. Honor that. Celebrate that. Another thing that is really important is to have a support network, to develop a support network. So this falls into different categories. First of all, your friends. It's really important when you're talking about your dreams to make sure you are sharing those dreams with friends who believe in you. Years ago, I had a lot of friends who didn't really believe in me. I was always trying to convince them to believe in me, as if they believed in me, then my dreams would come true. And after a while, I was just getting hurt time and time again with these friends. And a lot of them were just taking advantage of me for free psychic readings or whatever, right? And I eventually realized that it just wasn't a balanced relationship. And I started really considering, who was I spending my time with? Who was I giving my time with, the gift of my time? Because I'll tell you, I have some amazing friends. I have friends that love me, that I love, that believe in me, and I believe in them. And those are the people I began to focus on. And I really now in my life, when it comes to friends, I don't keep friends around if they don't believe in me. I just don't. They're not really my friends. Now, I'm not saying they believe in my fantasies about life. I appreciate that my friends are honest with me and vice versa. But, you know, I don't, you know, in Bad Sugar Baby, I'm going to pull out the book. It's the book I just wrote. And I didn't thank every dear friend in my life. I have friends I'm saving for my next book. I have another book coming out in September, as I mentioned. I have people I'm saving for that. But I did give acknowledgments to my friends in my life who truly, deeply believed in me. I thanked to Allison, who squeezed my hand in friendship and never let go. That is a girlfriend of mine who I met here in Los Angeles. She's my best LA girlfriend. And she always believed in me. And she still does. To Gary, Gary's my voice teacher, who weathered my storms until I was grounded enough to see that indeed I could be snarky and loving at the same time. To Erica, who is my best Minneapolis girlfriend, who always nurtured not just my creative spirit, but everyone around her. To Aaron, my childhood friend Aaron, there's no one on earth like you. We're so lucky to have you here. To Josh, who's my best Minneapolis guy friend, who always knew every secret thing and didn't hold it in. To Mike, who's a friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, we've had adventures in spirit and art like no other. To Leora, who helped me see that healing could take place. To Jessica, who I feel like I've known my entire life and who rocks. To Chris. Chris is a friend of mine who's an octogenarian. In fact, he's 85 now. And he saw my inner artist from almost the very beginning. To my dear friend Kelly. Kelly from 1-2 Radio. Aloha from not Wisconsin. To Sonia, who's my childhood pen pal, who loves books and learning more than anyone I know. To Anzu, who's my another LA friend of mine who paves the way for many sisters with talent and dedication. To Debbie, please imagine that the dot in the eye of your name is a heart. Debbie is one of my dearest. To my loving family, wonderful teachers, to authors who changed my life, especially to Henry, I miss you, buddy, all the time. Oh, I'm going to cry. Extra especially to Laura, it's not every day a sister is a best friend and a soulmate. And most of all to Carlo. Y'all know who Carlo is. Vivo per lei, vivo anco, vivo per lei, vivo anche per te. I thanked all the people who truly believed in me. Truly, without agenda. Now, there are more people who believe in me on that list, like my mom and dad, although they've had agenda for me in my life. There are other people I want to thank for in my other novel, but my point of sharing all of that and honoring them just now is that these are people who deeply believed in me, and they weren't trying to use me. They weren't trying to use me for free psychic readings. They weren't trying to use me to only believe in them and give them all the aggrandizement, because I certainly have had other friends recognize my talent but not support me. Like I've had frenemies recognize my talent and not support me, try to tear me down, try to distract me, try to have me do their things. I love supporting people. I work at One to Listen. I love supporting people, but there needs to be a fair and balanced exchange. So that for when you're considering your support network, I want you to consider first friends. Are you going to share secrets with friends who might tear you down? Don't do it, okay? Number two on your support network is going to be professional guides. Now, this might be psychics, therapists, love coaches, writing coaches, art coaches, life coaches, classes that you can take. This can fall under the jurisdiction of how-to books and videos and YouTubers who are helping you, right? But it's important to develop a network of, and it could be peers, like if you're in a writer's group or in a group of people learning to have better skills in relationships together. All of that is really important, but find professionals that you really can trust, right? And then the third aspect of your support group is spiritual. You're not alone. Spirit can help you. Surrendering to the divine. I really seek daily to surrender my projects to the divine and to channel what the divine would like me to share with the world to bless the world. Maybe the blessing is through healing or psychic information. Maybe it's through laughter and growth, right? Maybe it's through changing perspectives. It's really up to the divine. But I ask the angels, I ask my spirit guides, I ask nature, I ask spirit for support, and you should too. Spirit is here to support you, okay? So, when it comes to building your confidence in this area, don't forget to take on some new challenges, right? Maybe you are used to thinking of something you want to do and then not doing it. Now, maybe those things are huge endeavors, like writing a book. Writing a book is a huge endeavor. I would challenge you to give yourself a small challenge, like, okay, well, I'm just going to tell you like how I break down a project. Let's say I want to write a book. I think of the subject of the book, right? I brainstorm some ideas, and then I pick an idea about what I want to write about. And then the very next thing I'm going to do, and I do this for all of my projects, whether they be trips or films or performances, is I write down a mission statement and a vision statement. Now, those are two slightly different things. So let's say you want to get into a relationship. Your mission statement is, I endeavor to grow myself into the version of myself who gets into an amazing, healthy relationship. And your vision statement is, within a year and a half, I am in an amazing relationship with somebody that I have complete trust with whom I grow. And then you put in the things that are important to you, right? Then I start breaking down the steps, because it's important to not think about having to finish the project now. I start breaking down, okay, what are the steps I need to take to get from here to there? I start writing down the steps, and then I start breaking down that first step into bite-sized pieces. And I write it down like a college syllabus. I say, okay, let's say today is July 18th. By July 20th, I want to write down my mission statement. By July 22nd, I'm going to write my vision statement. And then July 24th, I'm going to write down all the different things that I can see at this moment, because it will change, that I need to get from here to there. Now, if I can't see how to begin, I'm going to brainstorm 10 different people or 10 different resources I could find to help me understand how to begin. And then tomorrow, after I've brainstormed, I will do that by the whatever date, right? The 27th. On the 28th, I will look up one of those resources on how to begin. And if that doesn't work, then on the 29th, I will look up another resource on how to begin. Do you see? So then I keep breaking down steps. I keep breaking down steps, and I write down, you know, by the 1st of August, I will have begun writing the beginning, middle, and end of my book. And then by the 2nd of August, I will think about plot points. And now on the 3rd of August, I'm going to take 1 week to do character development, right? Like, there's all these different ways we can develop. It depends, you know, I'm jumping from project to manifestation to project to manifestation here. But it's the same thing. If you want to take a trip, you want to take a honeymoon to Greece, you can say, okay, the very first thing I need to do is start researching the best time of year to go to Greece, how much it's going to cost to go to Greece, all the places I want to go, all the different price points, what might be cheaper ways to do it. I'm going to just start by create, right? But I might start by, okay, my vision statement for a honeymoon to Greece, a mission statement for a honeymoon to Greece, and then a vision board for a honeymoon to Greece. And once I've got my vision board with my vision statement and my mission statement, then I'm going to start doing research on how much it costs to reasonably go to Greece. And therefore, I'm going to start planning financially. How much do I need to save if I want to take a honeymoon in a year? I know you take a honeymoon after you get married, but we haven't done ours yet. So let's say we want to take our honeymoon, even though we've been married almost 3 years. If we want to take a honeymoon in a year, what do we really need for the money for the place we want to go? And what do we need to do to make that happen? How much do I need to save every month? And if I'm not able to save that much, what are some side jobs I could take on to make a little extra money to try to save that much every month, right? So this way, you're giving yourself challenges, but in bite-sized pieces. Set small goals and start fulfilling those small goals. Don't try, the old adage, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, which is creepy. I don't know who's eating elephants. I hope I got it wrong, right? But these are the important things to think about, small goals. And then along the way, I want you to support yourself. I want you to think about, okay, the version of me that's going to accomplish these goals or manifest these things. How much sleep do I need? How do I eat? Do I not eat to like be perfect? What kind of eating do I need to support my dreams, right? What kind of physical activity do I need to support my dreams? What kind of life do I need to live to support my dreams? How can I make sure that I'm being mindful of having enough time in my life to also go for my dreams in life? It's so important. And you don't have to do this all in a day. This is something that every day you check in a little bit. Like every morning I check in a little bit on where am I at with my dreams? What do I need to do today for my dreams? Some days all I can do is take a single action. And some days I devote an entire day. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you that you are worth having your dreams come true. You are worth pursuing your dreams. You are worth, and if you're saying to me, I want to have a dream, I don't even know what it is, then you're lucky you. You get to start experimenting. I want you to write a list of 10 things that you think might be fun and start experimenting with how can I dip my toes in the water of these 10 different things and see what I might like to try next. All right. So if you want to come find me over at 12listen.com/Erin, I will be available later today. And you can always put in a scheduled call request or appointment request. Come find me. I'd love to work with you. Until next week, I love you. Bye-bye.